Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today we're going to be talking to two members of the Utilities Commission. And for those of you who are not sure what the Utilities Commission is, this is going to be a very good introduction because utilities is something that we all use every day. Energy, whether it's electricity or gas, broadband to connect to the internet, and of course water through water care. So those are our major utilities. And it's important that people have good service. It's important that people have fair charges. It's important that people can have some process that they can go through if they're unhappy. And that's what the Utilities Commission stands for. It's got a website and it's very transparent because on that site there are a number of cases that people have taken to the various companies and then not resolved things. And then they've gone to the Utilities Commission who has provided this process to hear both sides and come to a conclusion and to be fair and transparent, and of course everything gets reviewed. So that's in a nutshell what you can learn from looking at the website. But today, having two representatives with us, Jessica Nemac. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Anne-Marie.
And Kalina Shipkov.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So Jessica's Wellington, Jessica is Auckland based. She is someone who goes out into the community and we'll talk about that later in the program. And Kalina, you're Wellington based.
That's right.
So I'd like you to tell us about your role.
Yeah, sure. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at Utilities Disputes. And essentially my role is I work in the operational side. So we've got three different complaints teams that I oversee. So our first contact team, they are the ones taking in the calls and inquiries, getting our new complaints when they come in the door. And then we've got an early resolution team. So they deal with complaints at the early stages and try and get a quick and fast resolution for the parties that come to us. And then we've also got the conciliation and investigation team. So they deal with usually more complex investigations or matters where they haven't been able to get a resolution. So that's my role. And we're mostly based in Wellington.
Wow. So we're very delighted that you're here with us today.
Yeah.
So we're getting it from the horse's mouth. And we can be sure that, it's not just backyard talk. So this is really exciting. Just to kick off. I met you, Jessica, doing your role out in the community at a Treasuring Our Seniors event in June. And that was a very exciting occasion and I was very impressed at just the amount of activity that you had flowing through your stall in terms of inquiries and people wanting to connect with you and have you come out to see them. So that's what really triggered off my thought about having this program. And then along came the information about WaterCare's 13,000 metres that were faulty and news of customers having huge back bills. And that made me twice as determined to do something. This is a time of the year when people often have big bills in winter. It's when they struggle the most to deal with utilities. And I thought, this adds even more reason why we need to have the conversation. So in my learning about the service, I've been very impressed about how independent and fair and efficient and effective the service is and proven by the research and by the reviews that have been done. They've been quite comprehensive and they've been independently done. So they're not favouring anybody. They're not looking after the companies and they're not looking after the commission. They are simply there to give clear and honest feedback. So with all of that going on, I also realised that with broadband, the service was covering a certain period of time while there was a rollout and Chorus was working, and they were trying to get up driveways and trying to resolve issues that where there were multiple owners and where they had to get permission from multiple owners. And I thought that was an interesting area. So those are the things that we're going to hopefully touch on in our session today. I'm just thinking many people that I've talked to in the senior community haven't got much idea about the Utilities Commission. They haven't got much of an idea what you do or how you go about it. So we are at the grassroots level. And so I'm just wondering, what's the first step that people should go through if they are having trouble or difficulty with a utility service provider, with an energy company, with a power company, or with a broadband service, or with WaterCare, for example? What should they do first?
Well, they can give us a call. I mean, that's a great first step, and we can give them some guidance about how to approach their company if they're not sure about what to raise. And if they're thinking about making a complaint, we would usually suggest that they speak to their company first and give them an opportunity to resolve it. Might be an easy fix. But what we can do is we can help by preparing a complaint summary. And so that sets out the key issues that have been raised and what the person's hoping to achieve by raising it with their company. And it just means that when we send that to the relevant, you know, energy company or whoever it might be, that everyone's on the same page, they know what the issues are, and there's an understanding about what the complainant is hoping to achieve.
Mm. And what is the number they should call?
0800 223 3340. And that was a really good question, Anne-Marie, because for many people, making a complaint may be really challenging, especially if English is not their first language. And one of the things at Utilities Disputes we do that makes it very easy is we will write that complaint summary up, like Kalina just said. We will take the notes. Our team will take the notes. So all complainants have to do is talk to us and tell us what the issues are.
Okay. So that's step one, is really quite easy. Yes.
Absolutely. And we've also got, you know, people can use our website as well if that's easier. And we have got a live chat function that goes through to our team. So it's not a chat bot. It's a real person in our Wellington office usually.
Ah, that's progress for me to hear. That's music to my ears. And the other thing I was thinking was that, for example, even with Planet in our studio here, we have over 40 languages broadcast every week from different programs. So they're not all in English. And so by us actually having this program on air and it becoming a podcast, it means it's a service that then can be shared in our family and across other programs. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. On that point, we also use a translation service as well. So for anyone that language might be a barrier, they can still give us a call and we can utilise that. And we also try and get a lot of our information translated into different languages too, so it's really accessible. And, you know, different backgrounds, that, you know, they can all tap into the information that we have about utilities disputes.
Mm. So what are the major languages that you actually have in written form?
So at present, we have an English booklet and we have a Te Reo Māori booklet. And we are working on some other printed languages. I know that in the past we've also done Korean as well. But yeah, we have the translation function at the moment that we can actually support complainants with in their own language.
Is that language line?
Yes.
Yes. So you've got over 35 languages.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes. So that's really exciting because that covers Latin American and African and a whole host of Middle Eastern connections. Good. Now, just looking at the utilities that are covered, can you just enlighten us as to the range and the spread?
Mm.
Is it all companies that are supplying electricity and gas? Is it only some major ones? I mean, because there's some small players out there. And some people may belong to companies that have their base on the West Coast, for example, that aren't well known.
Yeah, so in the energy space, all retailers and lines companies are required to be a member of Utilities Disputes. So it's a government-mandated dispute resolution scheme. So it should be all of the companies that people are using.
And what about with broadband? Is it still continuing? Because there was some doubt about it stopping at the end of January in 2025.
Yes, that has been extended. But so the broadband complaints that we deal with, so those are for, it's quite a niche little area, so it's shared access. So usually if there's a shared driveway, for instance, and one of the neighbours is wanting to install fibre, and one of the other neighbours isn't happy about it or wants to raise an objection, they can bring that through to us and we can consider it.
And just thinking about other examples where this has actually proved really useful. Okay, we might pass on that one. And I know that sometimes if absentee landlords can be a problem because the landlord can be overseas. And so the people living in New Zealand sharing that driveway might really want their broadband, whereas the other party isn't responding.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it provides a way to get some traction on it. There are quite limited grounds for objection under the Telecommunications Act. So, you know, it is quite limited to how people can complain about those. But I think that means that, you know, it is in favour of having that rollout of fibre.
So it actually moves things along.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And get some progress.
Okay. So in terms of other sorts of issues, are there other cases to do with electricity, for example, that you might want to comment on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, energy makes up sort of 95% of the work that we do, and we're really busy, so, you know, we've got a lot going on. But, you know, one of the main issues we see has always been high bills, but more and more we're seeing actually that the number one issue that's being raised at the moment is around customer service, and that's particularly with the over 65. So that's more of an issue there, particularly with getting, you know, complaint handling and access to and failures to agree, failing to act as agreed. So in terms of some examples of the type of work we do, like disconnections are our top priority. With those, we take a slightly different approach. So we really want to get in quickly and help people get the power on as fast as possible. And we have a lot of communication with the retailers and can also work with the consumer to provide some wraparound support services.
That's good news, because it's hopeless if people are trying to survive in the winter with no heating. And
exactly.
Yeah, it's very, particularly with the cold weather that we've had.
Yep.
Now, so 95% of the work is in the electricity, and a small amount of that might be gas. Water care. Just wondering about how you're going. Are you seeing a huge upsurge in problems with water care bills?
Well, we're seeing an increase in water complaints generally, but water care is a little bit different for us. It's a voluntary scheme, so they refer what they want to us. And so it is the same with our other water providers. So we've also got Wellington Water as well, and it's the same provision.
Okay. And who can access your services?
Anyone can. It's a free and independent service, and it's available for all consumers. So we're really there to help, and we want to help as many people as possible.
Right. So that's the message we really want everyone to hear. Yes. And in terms of getting support, some people need face-to-face kind of help. Like, even though you've got Teams that'll answer the phone and you've moved away from AI dependent answering. You've kind of got humans involved. But what about if people feel they need to trust somebody, they need to deal face-to-face with somebody? What would you recommend?
I'd suggest that they still get in touch with us. You know, people do pop into our Wellington office from time to time. Mm-hmm. I know that Jessica, she's out and about in the community and she's meeting people all the time. Just down in Porirua recently with some of our team, and they're out there meeting people, and they're, you know, real life humans wanting to hear what's going on for other people. And we do have situations where we'll go out and meet people if needed as well.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. And because I wondered whether going to a community service agency like the CAB, where people are sort of trained to do advocacy, whether that could be helpful for some people.
Yeah, I think in some cases it will be if they're worried about making complaint. I mean, what I would say, though, is ultimately we want our service to be as accessible as possible. And so people don't need an advocate to come to us or a lawyer or anything like that. We're there to help and to guide them about, you know, if we do need further information or anything like that. It's a really accessible process.
Yeah. So they need to have the idea that somebody's welcoming them at the gate, not moving the gate up higher
exactly.
to keep them out.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that with that image, you know, it's going to make it much friendlier for people to think about. So maybe you can give us the number again.
So it's 0800 223 340. Our website is www.udl.co.nz, and you can also use our live chat function.
Right. So I was impressed at with all of the reviews and the research I looked up as to how positive the reviewers were about the Utilities Commission, that it was a great place to work, that the staff were well supported and they received good, very good training. And even though it's a small organisation, they worked very robustly in keeping very good records, and they kept detail, and they all of their information was accessible and transparent and very available on the web. And so this actually kept on being repeated by a number of reviewers.
Yep.
And I thought this is really good because people can have real confidence that they're something's going to happen, they're going to go somewhere with this, and that there is a process that has an end, that they're working to an end. It's not something where you go into a pipeline and you wonder how long is the pipeline and is anything going to come out the other end. So I'm just wondering if you can think of any quick wins that you've had that are really surprising.
We have a lot of quick wins. So, I mean, most of our cases actually resolve between the parties really early on. And it's only a really small percentage that will go through to an investigation stage and might need the commissioner to recommend an outcome. I can think of a lot of quick wins, and you know, there was one case that came to mind, and it was an elderly lady living in an apartment block who was a really low user. So she didn't have a fridge, she wasn't cooking, and she'd turned off her hot water. So there are a lot of hardship issues going on for her. And what had happened was she came to us because she'd noticed an increase in her bills and couldn't work out what had happened. So, you know, we had some of the team that worked really closely with her and with the company to try and work out, and they were able to get hold of her usage data and identified a point where something had looked like it had been turned on. So they did some testing to try and work out what that might have involved, and actually eventually worked out that there'd been a switch in the meter and she was getting billed for a neighbouring apartment. So they were able to get that fixed for her, have the meters switched over so she was getting the right bills, have the bills corrected so that she wasn't being, you know, wasn't having to pay for someone else's usage. But they also worked with her to connect her with her retailer, and they had some initiatives that could help her with the hardship issues as well and make that more affordable for her. And then they also connected her with some social services that could also provide some more wraparound support.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes on.
Yeah.
It's a very good outcome.
Absolutely.
And that's sort of good news story that we need to hear.
Yeah.
In actual fact, I've come across two or three cases where accounts have been confused with other accounts. Either people had the wrong ICP number, and partly because it had been given to them by the real estate company when they moved into the place. So for eons, they were actually paying too much because they were paying for somebody else's account. And it was only when it got to winter, when the usage changed quite dramatically, that they could see a huge difference, and they, you know, queried it, and it all got unravelled. But these sort of situations do happen, and people often look at their bills and scratch their head and can't work it out. So I would advise anyone who has problems to ring you guys, because it's free and, you know, you've got nothing to lose.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you might actually be on a winner. So that's really worthwhile. Now, something else that I wanted to talk about was to go back to you, Jessica, and find out more about your outreach, because I know that there's been work done on tikanga training with staff. I know that there's, you know, real efforts to reach members of the Māori community through marae and so on. So tell us more about your outreach activities.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to share. So I am a small part of an amazing team, and one of the things that we are really fortunate to be able to do is partner with Māori organisations, and we do it really slowly because we want to be able to build up that relationship. We want to get to know the people that we're supporting and how we can best support them. One of the things that Kalina touched on with the case study that you referred to was not just the normal bread and butter work that Utilities Disputes does in helping people resolve complaints, but we partner with and collaborate with a whole lot of other organizations. And that's part of my role, to actually find out who is in the community, what they do. And when I find that a community group needs some support, some additional support, I'm able to bring some other parties together so they can form a relationship and actually have the support that they need in that space. So we work closely with some marais across Aotearoa, and we do have a cultural engagement team member who works in Waitara that supports us as well. And yeah, it's really amazing to be able to meet organisations that are doing amazing work, and then also support them to connect the dots to who they can actually reach.
I was thinking about Homaru Housing and the number of units that they deal with across Auckland is over 1,400.
Yes.
And they would be a good example, I think.
Absolutely. And I meet them at a lot of events that we go to. And again, it's supporting our seniors to understand that if they do have a complaint, if they have a concern, if something's on their mind around utilities, that they can give us a call. And like you said, they've got nothing to lose. It's free, and they can actually reach out. So there are times when they can actually go to the CIB, and because the CIB know us really well, they can actually refer the clients to us through the CIB or through offices like community law or other advocacy services as well.
Mm. Well, that's good, because the higher the profile you have with the advocates in the community and across communities, the more chance people have of hearing about the service. And after all, that's why you're here today, so we can get the message out more. But there is a need, I think, for everybody who's working in the space to relieve all kinds of issues that are on people's minds that might cause them sleepless nights and affect their health. It's really important that as many people as possible are empowered to take the message out there and to spread it and to give people confidence that it's worthwhile making a complaint. I think some people feel they're facing Mount Everest and, gosh, they don't even know if they're going to get to base camp, let alone to conquer the issue. So just making the process easy for people and giving them confidence is so important, and that's what you do so well when you're out in the community, Jessica. So
thank you.
Yeah, that, and that's what obviously happens when people ring the 0800 number.
Mm-hmm.
So, Helena, you've given me a great deal of support and confidence and just recommending and encouraging people. And there are opportunities that crop up for lots of us to get this message out. And lots of people who listen into the program are people who are trying to keep abreast of changes and how they can help seniors with the changes. And so this is going to a lot of those people who do that kind of support and advocacy.
So one of the things that I also do, Anne-Marie, is connect with SeniorNet groups as well across Aotearoa. And I can actually do presentations either face-to-face, depending on where they are, or online as well. And we've supported Age Concern, virtual villages as well, as the disability communities around Aotearoa as well, in those ways as well, just to get the message out and to let them know that there are practical things they can also do to reduce energy consumption. So we partner with lots of healthy home initiatives that do referrals and home assessments. So we're not just on our own. We've got an amazing team of collaboration happening that can actually help a whānau.
That's just tremendous news. I was thinking, with such a small staff, how on earth do you cope with the sort of volumes that might be happening? But now when I hear the extent of what you're doing in the community, not that I wasn't aware of what you were doing, but it's like I didn't have the full picture. So now that I've got that, I can really see that, you know, you've got a considerable force there to protect and encourage and support.
Yeah, it's really good. We also have some really useful merchandise that we hand out when we are at community events, and you may have seen we've got a little temperature card gives you the approximate temperature of a room that you're in, and I've popped some into the bag for you to have a look at a little bit later. But we use that with the seniors at the Treasuring Our Seniors Expo in June, and it was interesting to see the look on people's faces when I'd ask them, what is your heat pump normally set at? And they go, oh, maybe 30. And then taking them through the temperature chart of what 15 degrees looks like and what a comfortable room temperature between 18 and 22 degrees looks like, and then above that. And so it's a really useful tool for people. It's also got all of our details on if they need to contact us. But it's something practical in their hands that they can actually make a change and be aware of in their own homes.
Right. So thank you for informing and also bringing copies along, and I can distribute those at the next Grey Power meeting and certainly here at the community lunch. So I'd just like to thank you both for coming in today and wish you well on your work, and hope that we can get this message out through the podcast to as many listeners and as many community folk as possible.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you to our audience, and we look forward to having you with us next week. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.